Hey folks, in this interview, I'm sitting down with the world and universe famous Mr. Rick Salmon. This is Twit. Hey folks, welcome back to This Week in Photo. I'm your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today, I have the distinct honor of sitting down with a legend in photography, a man who has written more books than I care to mention, dozens of books. He teaches workshops. He's got a podcast. This guy has figured out how to fold space and time so that you could somehow get more done than everybody else. His name is Rick Salmon, and he is on the hot seat today. What's up, Rick Salmon? What's going on?
Well, thank you so much. But I do have to say, Frederick, you know, thanks again. But time does move at a different pace for me. My wife will tell you this. No one can work for me because, and I work with my wife. You know, she co-authored our new book. Yeah. But anyway, time moves at a different pace for me. It's very interesting.
How is that? What did you do? You found the secret of dark matter or cold fusion? Like what?
I don't know what it is. I think I'm totally hyper, right? And yeah. I think that hyperness helps me produce stuff. But the other thing is and I think this is good advice. I'm not a procrastinator. If something happens, you know, I do it right away. If I showed you my email, took a screenshot of my email right now, there's nothing I have to answer because I do everything like right away.
See, that's a good way to be because a lot of people will, you know, they treat the inbox as a to-do list. You know, I'll get to that one, I'll star that one, I'll file that one over here and I'll get to it. And then there's other people like you. I know a couple of people, very few like you that will just, hey, it's in, answer it, it's out, and don't let them accumulate. The thing I've seen, have you seen these people that have like quadruple digit unread emails in their inbox?
Yeah, they're sharing a picture and it's like 437 emails unread.
Yeah, at that point it's time to declare email bankruptcy, I think. It's just select all, mark as read, delete, and then if they're important they'll come back to you, right?
But you know what, seriously, this is a business. And, you know, you're an excellent business person. Every professional photographer who's been on your show is an excellent business person. And you have to look at this as a business. Yeah, it's fun taking pictures. It's fun traveling around, as you know. But you have to have a good business sense. And I think part of that business sense is, acting on things and, you know, don't procrastinate because people don't want to wait today, right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. But that's a good segue, and I want to just sort of pick your brain about that. You know, sort of time management and being effective. Because you're, like I said at the beginning, you've written a ton of books. You're doing workshops. You're doing, you know, you probably got 15 things to do after this interview. What's the secret to not being overwhelmed? A, and then B, not being estranged from your family, because somehow you managed to stay married through all this. So how do you do it? What's the magic trick?
Married for 45 years.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a long time. Yeah, well, we work together. And I think that's really a good thing. I know a lot of people, a lot of couples, you know, what they do is they divide responsibilities. Like Susan, my wife, you know, she's in charge of a lot of the business, the finances. She hides the taxes from me. She hides some of the, you know, I don't know. I want to know what we're paying in taxes and all this stuff. But I think, and so I do some of the creative stuff. She does a lot of the creative stuff with the iPhone. So I think dividing responsibilities is really important in working together. And also in a business, right? You don't want to step on someone's toes. But again, I think acting on stuff, believing in yourself and, setting goals every day and setting priorities. Like I'm actually working on another photography book, and I can't tell you the title of it, but I think it's going to be my favorite book. It's so far, it's a photography book with no pictures in it.
A photography? You're going to actually have words in this one? So what's going on here?
It's a self-help book, and it's just going to be text. This is not a new idea. Like there are a lot of audio podcasts, photo audio podcasts, right? And there's no pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan Sontag, she wrote that book on photography, I think, or that may not be the right title. It had no pictures in it. So anyway, there's a book kind of like this on a different subject that I saw on Twitter. And I said, this is a good idea because I think it's kind of newsworthy, right? A photography book with no pictures in it. So the thing is, this better be damn good writing and damn good information if it's going to sell.
Well, I mean, that's good. I mean, it's going to, you know, I think people want to get in your brain and understand how you're doing all this stuff, because that's, you know, that's a body of work and you're not done. And, you know, that's, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, demystify it for us. And maybe convert that written word book into a How I Did It, Rick Salmon course, so that we can jump in there. The next phase of your career could be Tony Robbins-esque, right? Being, you know, being inspirational to the photographer class out here.
Well, at my age, I think that's important, right? I think we all have to set an example. We all have to, like, I actually have an ebook, How to Get Motivated and Stay Inspired. I have a Kelby One class, same title, How to Get Motivated and Stay Inspired. And, you know, I think that if we're not inspired, if we're not motivated, how can we really take a good picture or process a good picture? It's just like, you know, I'm a musician. If I'm sitting at an upright Wurlitzer piano, which I grew up with, which sounded like crap, I'm not going to be as inspired if I'm sitting at a grand Steinway, right? So yeah. I think, and as you know, as a photographer, going out, what inspires you? It's the light. Sometimes it's the people. Sometimes it's a magical scene that you see. So I think that motivation and that motivation, that inspiration, is so important for photographers, and it really has to come from, you know, within.
Well, how do you weed through that, Rick? How do you weed through the noise of, you know, different tips and techniques online that you can try, and, you know, these different shiny objects that are trying to get our attention? You know, there's a new camera, there's a new lens, there's a new light, there's a new drone, there's new, and we want everything because that's in our blood as photographers. How do you reconcile staying focused away from that and on to being inspired, you know, for actually using that gear to create art?
Yep. Well, in our industry, as you say, people love gear.
Yeah.
You know, I speak a lot, right? So I'm at like an event, Frederick, and I have my books there, and there's like a camera store, and they may have a table across the street, across the aisle. And they're selling tripods. And let me tell you, more people buy tripods than books. Because they think a tripod's going to make them a better photographer. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Learning the technique and learning and following what other people do, like Steve McCurry. He was one of the people who influenced me. Or Jonathan Scott, the big cat man, who has a show on Netflix now. His passion for wildlife. All this is important. But actually, I was just reading an article on how to stay focused, because this is weaves into this book I'm working on. And one way to stay focused is turn off your email when you're working, right? Mm-hmm. On your computer, turn off your phone. And when you're out, stop, you know, same thing, turn it off. And the worst offense right now is, you know, I was just teaching a workshop in New York City, and I'm talking about, okay, let's capture the mood and the feeling, because it was like very misty. And the mist was over the Freedom Tower. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been there?
Yeah, I've been there, yeah.
So, you know, Frederick, it's a very moving experience, right? You see the holes in the ground where where the World Trade Center stood. So I'm talking about, let's capture the mood and the feeling and the emotion, which is the most important thing in a picture. And someone's, Apple Watch goes off, right? And they get a text message. And it destroyed the whole mood and the feeling.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it has to be kind of like meditation. I have a friend, Linda Marshall. She teaches meditation. And I said to her, well, you know, I'm too hyper to meditate. She says, well, I know you're serious about your guitar playing. I know you go down, because I have a music room, and I play guitar every day and without anything going on, just for myself. And she says, that is like meditating. So if you go out in the field with your tripod and you're focused on that landscape and, you know, I don't know if you know John Sexton. He was one of Ansel Adams' assistants. He would talk to trees.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if the trees heard him, but that really helped him with his photography. I think what John Sexton was trying to do was, you know, get so in touch with the subject. And right now a lot of photographers try to get so in touch with the aperture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the lens or the tripod or all this stuff.
Yeah, so, the gear. Yeah.
The gear, you know? And it's funny, I try to be inspirational, but on my website, the most liked page is the gear page.
Same here. Yeah, the most, the episodes that do the best are the ones that are focused on gear for some reason. I'm not sure, you know. But with that, Rick, so with the, if people want to get focused, they want to get inspired, how do they find the, you know, the thing that inspires them? So like, some people are lucky and they're like, you know, I'm a model photographer, or a portrait photographer, and people are my thing, I love people. And some people will be like Ansel Adams, landscapes speak to me, right? You know, I want to shoot landscapes, that's all I do, and street photography, and on and on and on. How do you find your genre? How do you find what type of photography excites you? Is it just go ahead and shoot them all and then figure out which one you like, you know, date before you marry, or is it something else?
Well, to answer that question, my next T-shirt, this is basically a nice little T-shirt here, but my next T-shirt is going to say, it depends. Because no matter what question, what lens, what aperture, right? What focal length, you know, what should I do in Photoshop? The answer is, it depends. So for example, to answer your question, I tell people my specialty is not specializing, because I do like to do it all. When it comes down to it, however, I love photographing people. I love, like, Susan and I were in India in January, and I went there to photograph strangers. And I got some nice shots, and actually, Kelby One has a Lightroom magazine. I got the cover of that and some people pictures inside, because I'm just drawn to these people. It's a challenge to me to have a stranger in India, Laos, Cambodia, wherever, except like me. That may not always be the case, or at least accept me for a couple of seconds so I could get that shot. So I think setting a goal is very important.
Yeah.
And if you set the goal, you know, what I used to tell my son about goal setting, I said, Marco, I said, if you shoot for the stars, and if you reach the moon, you're still doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was when I was in the Air Force, you know, aim high, right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you're right. Aim for the stars, and if you get the moon, you're still doing better than everybody else here on Earth, right?
So, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really sage advice. So if people, let's fast forward and say that person that was hypothetically wondering what kind of photography they should shoot, they figure it out. They're like, okay, they're right. I don't want to say shoot because we're in 2019. I want to photograph people, right?
So, right.
That's my thing. I love people. I want to photograph people. What's the next steps? Assuming that they're relatively new, they've got a decent camera. Should they spend money on training? Should they buy books? Should they, you know, buy, you know, a 50 mil lens? What's the next step for that person once they decide on the genre that they want to tackle?
Well, I think the first thing is to realize, for people, by the way, is that, and this is a Freeman Patterson expression. You know, I love a lot of quotes, Frederick.
Good.
And his expression is that the camera looks both ways. In picturing the subject, you're also picturing a part of yourself, which means you're a mirror, you know, to sum that up. But basically, the mood, the feeling, the emotion, the expression, your body language, all this stuff is going to be reflected in your subject. So this goes beyond like the 50 millimeter lens for the bokeh effect or the wide angle lens that you might want to use for an environmental portrait. It's that you have to remember that the camera does look both ways, and it's working now. You know, if you were there interviewing me and you said, okay, Rick, you know what? We're going to talk seriously about photography. What is the most important thing when it comes to photographing people? You know, I would be going, well, Frederick, you know what? I think is really important. So you're making it fun. So I'm having fun. And I hope the audience is having fun too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the most important thing. And actually the article that I have in Lightroom magazine, that the title of it is called Respect.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing when it comes to photographing people with wildlife. You have to respect the wildlife. When you're photographing the landscape, if you're in like one of the national parks, you don't, like I saw in Zion National Park when I'm trying to photograph this beautiful landscape. Six or eight people hop the fence, right, with like bright colored windbreakers, and then doing all these like stupid poses like this, you know?
Jeez.
And they ruined it for everybody. So, you know, you mentioned the Air Force. You know, I have a friend, Hal Schmidt. I think I introduced you to him. Maybe not. Anyway, he was a Top Gun fighter pilot and became a Top Gun instructor. And he talked about like being in the cockpit that you have to have what's called, I'm sure you know, situational awareness.
Yeah.
And you have to be aware of, you know, he'd be in the cockpit and, you know, he'd be like looking all around like this. He had situational awareness. So as photographers, I think if we're photographing people, wildlife, shooting, photographing in the city, having that situational awareness, I think, is really important.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, especially, I mean, you could be in the jungle, right? You need need to be aware of your surroundings or in whatever neighborhood around the world where there it's, you know, with humans there. You want to be aware of what's going on. You're walking around with a high ticket item and you're relatively vulnerable. So, yeah. No, absolutely. So on that, or just actually switching gears a little bit to talk about post-processing. So you've got the photo, you've been inspired, you got the shot, and now you're back at the computer. What in the Rick Salmon world, what there, you know, do you err on the side of, you know, get it right in the camera, as little post-processing as post-processing as possible, or to the other side of it is, you know, some people treat the images that they capture with their camera as just the raw materials, and that's only 25% of the journey, and the rest is in post, and they're going to bring out their mind's eye in that shot. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
Too bad I don't have the shirt.
It depends.
Because, you know, sometimes, like with the people pictures from India, they're pretty much straight shots. But on some of the high contrast landscape pictures, you know, sometimes I use HDR. But Ruth Bernhardt had a great black and white photographer, by the way. She's passed on. But anyway, she had a wonderful expression. And her expression was, you can't spend too much time working on a photograph because your soul is in the photograph. Now, if you take a picture of your cat, a dog, you know, in the backyard, or a squirrel, you know, came close to your house, maybe your soul's not in it. But, you know, on my workshops, and maybe you see this too, people say, oh, I'm spending too much time. You can't spend too much time. You know, Moonrise over Hernandez, how many months or years did Ansel Adams process that picture over and over again? How much Joseph Karsh of Ottawa, who was the Ansel Adams of portraiture, you know, and if your listeners don't know about Karsh of Ottawa, they could just do a search Ernest Hemingway pictures. Mm-hmm. And the number one picture that comes up, I'm sure you've seen it, of Hemingway in that sweater. It's like a silver print. Even on the web, it looks amazing. But anyway, he spent months and years on a picture. So, you know, sometimes if I'm like on safari or I just want to get a picture up on Instagram, I'll put it up there quickly. But I think it's important for photographers to go back and look at their work, like and criticize the work. I have you mentioned thank you very much, by the way. I have a lot of books.
Yeah.
I have an HDR book that came out about 7 or 8 years ago. And I look at some of the chapters, Frederick, and I say, what was I thinking?
You know. Yeah, I think we all do, right?
Oh, right. I mean, because we all change. And I'm sure musicians do that. You know, they publish a song and they say, you know, they write it for whatever reason, maybe to get a number one hit. And they say, what was I thinking? This doesn't reflect me. So I think it's good to be honest about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it reminds me, I know the audience will probably correct me on this, but I read somewhere that the biology of the human form or mammals in general regenerates like what every 8 years or 10 years or something. You're essentially a brand new person. Mm-hmm. You know, as cells die off and new ones are created, you're like a conveyor belt of cells. So who you were back then, you know, your brain matter notwithstanding, but who you were back then is not the same person in a real physical sense to who you are today, right?
Well, when you get near 70 like me, you'll see that when you get up in the morning, it's not as easy as when I was at Woodstock getting out of my VW van.
You know, well, you just can't drink as much, right? That's what it is.
No, actually, I can drink more.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because I develop a tolerance. So my wife says, you're having more wine? And I have a tolerance to it.
I love it.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I think it's important for photographers not to take themselves too seriously. Like, I have a sign over my desk that you can't see, and I'm going to tone it down for the audience. Jay Mazel wouldn't. You know Jay, right?
No, I do. Yeah.
So I'm going to tone it down so you can imagine what Jay would say. But the sign says, don't believe your own PR. So you know what Jay would say.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're on social media and you're looking for sponsors and all this other stuff, you could tell people, oh, I have this many followers and all this other stuff. But I think being humble to yourself and realizing that don't believe your own PR is really important.
Yeah, no, I love that. Those are sage words to live by. Any parting shots you want to throw out the audience? I mean, I love chatting with you, and it's like, we could take this interview in a million different ways. That's why we didn't have any notes when we started this. Normally, I have notes, and I want to go in this direction. And if the interviewee says this, then I'm going to go there. With you, we just jump on Skype and hit record. I love it.
Well, that's because you're so good. And like I say, and I'm serious that the camera looks both ways. I'm on a lot of podcasts, and and I'm looking off camera, gosh, what is this going to be over, So I'm having a great time. But I think maybe parting words would be to never give up.
Yeah.
And you just can't give up. Timing's so important in life. And, there's a lot of naysayers on, you put a picture on the web and someone will find, something wrong with it. Just have to believe in yourself and never give up. And I have several never give up stories, which we could talk about another time.
That might be another Rick Salmon book, Never Give Up. There you go.
Well, part of it is in this book with no pictures in it.
Oh, good. Good. You should actually name the book with no pictures Rick Salmon's Book of No Pictures. There's your working title right there, man.
Well, on Facebook today, on my Facebook page, it's just Rick Salmon Photography. I took a screenshot of a Word document, the first page, and it said chapter one, and I just put the in it, and then the rest of the page was blank. I got more likes on that than like some of my pictures from India because people thought it was funny. But, anyway, it's a ton of fun, I think. Don't you think we've never lived in a more exciting time with all the plugins like Perfectly Clear and all these other things that we have to play with? I mean, it's much easier, to get to that goal than it was when I started before you were born.
Yeah, you listen. You did not start. Well, maybe you did. You did. You probably did start before I was born.
Well, I started taking pictures seriously in 1962 when I was 12.
Yeah, I wasn't there yet. Yeah, I was. I was still floating around the universe somewhere. Let's just say, let's leave it there.
Well, we're glad you're here, Frederick.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Well, thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate you coming on. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. And your sage words of advice distilled down from all these books that you've written. I have a feeling that you probably have another, 50, 60 books in you that we're going to see.
Well, I don't have another 50 years, but I might have another 50 books.
I love it. All right, Rick Salmon. If people want to come check you out, come get those books, check out your courses online. Where should they go? What's a good place?
Yeah, Rick Salmon, Sammon. It sounds like the fish, but it's spelled differently. RickSalmon.com. Everything's there.
Got it. There you go. RickSalmon.com. Rick, thanks again, man. I'll talk to you soon.
I had a great time. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye. This is Twitch.